Oh, look there. Y'all come up. The parents, the babies, the grandparents, anybody that's going to participate in this dedication today. Man, look at them. They're awesome. Bring it on. These pretty little girls do not have to worry about anybody messing with them. They just keep getting bigger as they come around. Wow. I'm telling you, this end are definitely handled with the big folks. Praise God. Beautiful family. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful family. The family is a divine institution ordained and honored of God since the beginning of time. Children are a heritage of the Lord committed by Him to their parents for care, protection, for training, for His glory. This is a happy occasion that brings us together. As you realize from God's word that you are responsible to train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. It is fitting that you should bring your child and present them, your children, and present them to God at this tender age, knowing that you must start training them in truth now. May this service forever remind you of your obligation and help you appreciate your responsibility to lead them in the right direction. In the sight of God, in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up this child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? We do. Okay. Do you promise to lead them early to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord? We do. Do you promise to the best of your ability and the help of God to set before them an example of godly, consistent lives? Amen. To each of the family members present, will you have a part in setting this example? Amen. All right. To Sophia and Cecilia, there you go. I give you a white flower as a token of your innocence and purity of the soul in the sight of God. My prayer is that when you lose your innocence and your eyes of understanding are open, you will see Jesus, to whom to see is life eternal. All right, Scott, there you go. To the Father, I give you this red flower as a symbol of your responsibility as the man of the house, that nothing enter your house that will tend to destroy the faith, confidence, and mutual love, without which no home can long endure. To the mother, I will give this white flower as a symbol of your purity of heart and the purpose for which you should exemplify as your child grows up to know God as a personal experience. Your example will have a great deal of awakening the consciousness of God. Now, we're going to have to makeshift our unity candle right now because it got moved. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want y'all to come here. We're going to use the Advent candle. There's more than one way to baptize a heathen. Come here. All right. I want each of y'all to take one of these candles. Mom, and Dad, I want you to light the candle in the middle. I'm going to get back out of your way. Now, could we come to the unity candle? Life is full of many symbolic actions that speak to us on a deeper level that we cannot always put into words. But such things you act instead of speak in regard to your promises. At the beginning of this marriage, two became one in the eyes of God. They stand before you today with the fruit of this relationship. Each of you will take this candle. Together you will light the larger one and then replace the lit candles in their individual holders. This is a vivid reminder that now your lives are merged. And Sophia and Cecilia is the proof of it. This is symbolic that God has placed responsibility upon each of you individually, which also make your hands one hand, of your hearts one heart, and your lives one life unified in God to raise these children in the admonition of the Lord. There you go. Come back over here. All right, here we go. Grandparents, right? To the grandparents, I give a red flower. That's fine. You're fine. You're fine. I got enough. I come prepared. I'm loaded for bear. Okay. To the grandparents, I give a red flower as a symbol of your influence to this child, teaching by influence and example right from wrong. Your role will be important and long-lasting. Congregation, is a symbol of your unified commitment to this family, please stand and respond to this important question. We, the congregation, do commit ourselves to do everything we can in the formal roles of service and the informal interactions with these children and their parents to assist them in the fulfillment of the vows of dedication they just made. Let's pray. The baby's weight is light, but the responsibility is very heavy. So we're going to pray for God to touch right now. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch Sophie and Cecilia, Lord. Touch their parents, Lord. Minister to them mighty in the name of Jesus. Lord, let their eyes be opened early to you and to your power and your anointing and your steadfast love. I ask you right now, Lord, to use them, Father, throughout their life, Lord, to be beacons in this world. So forth, also with their family, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we dedicate these children to you. And the church said, amen. So the baby's responsibility is light, but the weight is light, but the responsibility is very heavy. This responsibility is yours to raise this child in the fear of the Lord. We dedicate this children, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, is your Bible? Oh, I know this is yours. There you go, baby. Y'all are beautiful. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. All right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of y'all. Y'all, look, I've seen y'all before. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that little fella somewhere too. All right, y'all. God's awesome, isn't he? All the time. God is awesome. Amen. All right. Okay. Y'all looking good. Anybody tell you that? I'll love you. I'm not going to keep you too long today. Matter of fact, we'll be out of here by 3 so we can be. God is so awesome. Y'all say all the time. Come on. That's right. That's right. And at Children's Church, are they already gone? Okay, because I forgot them the other day, and my granddaughter let me know that I forgot them. Amen. We're going to talk about a very important topic that we all go through. How many here has ever been through a dark valley? How many here has ever had a rough time in your life? How many here has ever wished there was some other way than what you're going through? I understand it's not easy going through and maneuvering through life's tough valleys. But you get your Bibles out, and I want you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Stand for the reading of the word. Psalm 23. I want y'all to say this with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. It's a light. It's a source. It's a source of power and a source of hope, a source of encouragement. I ask you right now, Lord, to let it touch all of us in a very powerful way. Help us be ready, Lord, for what you're trying to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Now, we're just going to start it today. We're actually not going to do a whole lot of it today. Just going to start it because I know it's getting late. But I just wanted you to know that. How many's ever worried about anything? I mean, you can raise your hand. It's okay. You know, well, you know, I found out about this man who was he always worried. And so he worried about his children. He worried about his job. He worried about his wife. He worried about his health. So one day a friend of this man noted that he was extremely calm and peaceful. He said, "Why are you so calm?" He said, you're always worried about everything, what happened. And the former warrior replied, "I just hired a man to do all the worrying for me." "Well, how much are you paying him?" His friend said, $1,000 a week. The man replied, "You're paying him $1,000 a week. You can't afford $1,000 a week." And the warrior responded, "That's his problem." y'all go ahead and go, Okay, well, we're gonna focus on one scripture only for this 2 week series, and that is, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Wow. What do you get? I'm gonna ask y'all a question. What do you get in a land or in your own life where all you have is sunshine every day and no rain? Somebody said, "We wish." Did somebody say, "Oh, I wish that happened"? You know, if matter of fact, when I asked you this question, some of you might have said, "Never had it." A few others may have said, "Well, I wish we could have it." I'm going to tell you something that's special right now. Watch this. If you have a life where it's all sunshine every day and no rain, here's what you get. First, balance, none. You have no balance in your life. You don't know what it's like to have hard times, or you don't know what it's like to feel the rain, or you can't even sing, "I feel the rain, I feel the rain," because you don't know what it's about. All you got is sunshine. Matter of fact, I see people when all they have is sunshine, they actually get kind of spoiled, because they think life is nothing but a bowl of cherries without pits. Amen? And so, and I've even seen preachers and seen other Christians that they were awesome people. Man, they were awesome. But they seem to have no balance in their life because they seem to have everything going their way. And it's when things stopped going their way that it looked like they were having greater struggles that actually they didn't realize it, but the struggle was actually bringing balance into their life. Wow. Some of y'all in here right now, you're thinking, "Lord, is this ever going to stop?" And he says, "Hold on, the bubble's just about in the middle. We're balancing here, and we're trying to get it." So if you have all sunshine and no rain, you don't have any balance. None of that, but your growth is stunted. You put something out in the sun, and just let it stay out in the sun only, and watch what happens. No rain, no dew, just sunshine. It's not going to be a pretty picture. You got to have some rain. You got to have some storms to grow. And even some of the storms come along with their heavy winds and blow away stuff that you don't need, dead stuff in your life. So
If all you have is sunshine, there'd be no balance in your life. There would be, you'd grow, but it'd be minor. And you'd be blank, you'd be unthankful, because now you're spoiled. Everything's going your way all the time. How many's ever had everything go your way all the time? Somebody look at him and say, praise God. You don't want everything going your way all the time. It'll make you unthankful. I thank God for the sunshine. I also thank Him for the rain. I thank Him for the storms. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the hilltops. And also, your life would be boring if all you have is sunshine. I know some of y'all are still thinking, I'd like to try it for a while. You know, somebody said, can money buy you happiness? No, but it sure could rent some happiness for a while. Amen. So it's, you have no balance, your growth is stunted, you're unthankful, you're boring, and your life is a desert. Think about it. All sunshine, no precipitation, nothing but sun beating on you all the time. And so now, that's what we're going to talk about today, is examples of life valleys. And we're just going to talk a little bit. I'm going to get you through quick because y'all looking like, all right, we've done enough today. Let's go home. Okay? There's the Valley of Calamity. Achan caused a big problem. They were Ai. And because Achan caused a problem because he kept back what was God's and kept it to himself instead of giving it to God, they lost at Ai. And when they lost at Ai, God sent them back. And then once they found out what the problem was, before they went back into the battle to actually win over Ai, they had to take Achan and his family and they burned everything he had, put him in the valley and burn it all. Right there. Killed him and burned it. And so it was called the Valley of Achor, or the Valley of Calamity. And also, Psalm 84 and 6, there's the Valley of Weeping. But the Bible says that when His people are in the Valley of Weeping, His people make it a well. They find something good in it, and they move forward. And then there's Hosea talks about the Valley of Trouble. And then, of course, Psalm 23 talks about going, they either walk through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It actually means the word darkness there. It's a dark, a deep, dark valley. Matter of fact, let me just tell you a little bit about this valley. There is a valley in Israel. It's called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. This valley is a big valley. It runs off of, at the Mount of Olives, there's a spring that breaks out and it goes, causes a little river. And then it's been flowing for centuries, and this little river throws down through the Dead Sea and then down to the valley area, and it has cut and cut and cut a chasm. And so that chasm has become, in some places, 1,500 feet deep. It's very narrow. In some places, only 15 or 20 foot wide. And it's a very dangerous valley because of its narrowness. But it's a place that you have to go through. If you want to get to the good land, you got to go through the Valley of the Shadow of Death to get to the good land. Some of y'all in here need to understand. You're thinking, God, why am I going through this now? Not realizing on the other side of this valley is an awesome, fertile land. On the other side of this valley, something great is coming up. But in this valley, it's narrow, it's deep, there's grotesque shadows that are all up on the wall, all the walls of the canyon as you're going through, and you'll find out there's all kind of animals there. There's bears, there's lions, there's hyenas, there's even jackals that will come through and try to attack you. Also, there's robbers and thieves, and there's scorpions. There's all kinds of things that go through this valley. So as the shepherd's going through this valley, he's leading his sheep in a narrow pathway, and as he's leading them through this narrow pathway, all of these dangers, which can cause death, immediate death, are there. So the shepherd is taking care of business as they're going through this valley. Some of y'all today are going through some of these valleys. You may feel like you're in the Valley of Calamity, weeping, trouble, in deep darkness. You can't see the beginning from the end. You don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. You're asking God, please just help me. You just don't know what's coming next. And you're asking God, just help me out here, God. I would really like to know what's coming next. Well, guess what's coming next? God. You see, dark valleys, let me tell you something about dark valleys. They're unavoidable. Everybody in here, if you haven't already gone through a dark valley, you're going to go through one. I can probably guess, without this isn't even prophetic, I can probably just take a wild stab at it, and everybody in here has a dark valley you're going through in your life. Everybody in here, something is going on, something is that's happening to you or to family members or to somebody, children or something, but there's something going on in your life right now. This seems to be a dark valley. I just want you to know that dark valleys are unavoidable. They are going to happen. You can count on it. There's going to be a dark valley in everybody's life. You may be coming out of one right now. You may be going in one right now. But I can promise you, you can say, well, the pastor told us that we're getting ready to go through one. So when you go through it, don't feel bad. Amen? Because God is leading you through this. Man, Job 5 and 7 says, man is born for trouble and surely his sparks fly upward. If you're human, there's going to be dark valleys coming your way. But just remember, on the other side of the dark valley is some awesome pasture land. But not only are they unavoidable, and we're going to go through these four and then we're going to close, but they're unpredictable. Did you know that? You can't plan them. You can't time them. Dark valleys are unscheduled. Sometimes the walk is a little brisk walk through the valley. Sometimes you feel like you're wading through. You feel like you're never going to get through all this going on. Have you ever had a flat tire at a good time? Sister Dot. Last Sunday, we were praising God, having a good time. We come riding by, and I come and look, and I told Linda, I said, Linda, look at that. I said, there's somebody broke down on the side of the road, and there's this big guy trying to help him. I said, he's out in the middle of the road. I think somebody's going to run over him, but don't worry. If they hit him, the car's going to suffer worse damage. And what if it was Stephen? Sister Dot had a flat tire in a curve on Highway 33. In a curve, going uphill. So any way you can think of it was a rough time. She pulls over, and so and Stephen pulls over. He's trying to help, so I pull over. Linda goes back at the back, and she parks her car in the back and turns on the flashers. And then we have a patrolman come by, and he can't stop, and so because he's got a wreck he's going to, so he gives us flares and put flares out, waiting for another patrolman to come up. And so we change her tire, and as we change her tire, then we're waiting for her daughter. And so we're going through this thing, and Sister Dot said, I was hoping D.C. or Daniel would come by, and I was thinking, I was too. The only problem was D.C. and Daniel had already gone by. Amen. They had gone by before she broke down. Amen. So look, in a moment, in an unpredictable time, disaster after disaster is reported, for the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my tent curtains. In a moment, that was Jeremiah 4 and 20. And when you least expect it, unpredictable. I wish we could come and say, okay, get ready because maybe this week you might have one. It's amazing how you can watch the news, I mean, the weather report. If I don't like the weather report on Channel 9, I turn it to Channel 12. If I don't like the weather report on Channel 12, I turn it to Channel 7. If I don't like the weather report on Channel 7, I turn it to the Weather Channel. Usually somewhere I can find the weather I like better than the other ones. The same way, you cannot predict when valleys are going to happen. They will show up when you least expect it. You're expecting a phone call telling you everything is wonderful. You get that phone call and find out things are not so good. Amen. Alright, so look, they're unpredictable. And guess what? They're impartial. So we think, man, I wish I had his life. Anybody ever said that about somebody else? I wish I had their life. Have you ever said, I wish I had what they had? Do you really? Do you really want what they got? Because you'll find out a lot of times what you think somebody's got it all and got it all made, they're hiding that pain pretty good. Matter of fact, if you can look inside them, they may be hurting a whole lot worse than you are. Nobody is immune. No one escapes problems in life. Everybody has problems. Y'all say everybody. Everybody has problems. You can't plan or you can't time them. They usually come at the worst possible time. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Problems don't care how good you are. Problems don't care how bad you are. One of the first reactions most of us have to any problem is, why me, Lord? That used to be my favorite song by Kris Kristofferson. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to keep beaten up like this? I changed the words around a little bit. Amen. So remember, do you think anybody's exempt from problems? Point to the person in here you think are exempt from problems.
Nobody's pointing.
That's right. Everybody has got problems. Okay, so they're impartial, and I'm getting close to the end. They're unavoidable, they're impartial, or unpredictable, they're impartial, and the cool thing is they're temporary. How many know that? Guess what? They have an end. Somebody said they've got an end. They've got a beginning, but they've got an end. Don't they got an end? They don't last forever. Somebody said, you ain't been in my valley, have you? I almost started to say something about the three rings of marriage, but I already said that, so I'll leave that alone because Brother Frank told me I'd get killed. Okay, I'll do it anyway. The three rings of marriage is engagement ring, the wedding ring, and then the supper ring. Okay, even that doesn't last forever. I can promise you there's good times always. There's always good times. So they have an end, they don't last forever. And they're not a permanent resident. You don't have a zip code there. You don't have a P.O. box code there. They don't last forever. There's a light at the other end, and it's not a train coming. Amen? God's got a way. It's awesome. All right. This, here, 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, this suffering will not last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together and on your feet for good. Woo! Somebody go, woo! Do it again. Woo! Oh, look. If you have lived 80 years or 90 years and had problems all your life, this is so insignificant to the thousands and the millions of years you're going to have in heaven. Woo! When we get to heaven, all this is going to be gone. Eternity! 5 minutes in eternity. And you'll say, man, what problems? All right? So remember this. Romans 3. They all have a purpose. The Bible says, rejoice. Rejoice in this, that now for a short time you have heard it be distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through, refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. Every problem has a purpose. Small problems, big problems, they all have a purpose, and that purpose is to shape you. It is like putting sandpaper on rough edges. It takes the rough edges off of you. It molds your heart. It shapes your heart. It gets you prepared for what God wants to do in your life. There is a purpose. And know this. See, here it goes. God has a reason for taking you through dark valleys, a valley of doubt, despair, discouragement, defeat, financial valleys, relationship valleys, emotional valleys, spiritual valleys. God promises us in all of these, that every problem has a purpose. How many know that? Every problem. Look at somebody and say, every problem has a purpose. Little ones, inconsequential ones, irritating problems. How many's ever had any irritating problems? How many are sitting close to them? Okay. God wants to teach you character. Usually God teaches you character by putting you with a character. Did y'all hear that? Many times God teaches you character by putting you with a character. When you're with a character, it gives you character. So thank God for that. Amen? So now, He wants to change you. He wants to mature you. He wants to change you. He wants to mature you. Your faith is built in your valleys of life. Musicians, come up. I told you I won't keep you long. You thought I was kidding, didn't you? Magicians, come up. Magicians. Yeah, sometimes they are like magicians. Amen. God wants to do something special in your life. You ever hear one spouse tell the other spouse, "You're not the same spouse I married, but they just spent the last 5 years trying to change you," and then wonder why you're not the same? Let's all stand. Next week, we're actually going to talk about the psalm. We're going to get into it. God is so awesome. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know I went through it kind of fast. I was trying to get through. We've had so much activity that I didn't want to bore you. So if you listen to me talking fast, maybe it would keep you awake. There's nobody in this place that's immune from valleys. Matter of fact, there's nobody in this place that doesn't know what it's like to be in a valley. And like I said before, I'm pretty sure most of you can say, "I'm in a valley right now, and I need God to change me. I need God to work with me. I need God to show me how to handle what I'm going through. I need God to help me. I feel like I'm in a desert. I feel like I'm in darkness. I feel like there's no way to even get by anymore because of this dark valley." That's such a perfect psalm. The shepherd knows how to lead you through the valley because the shepherd has gone through everything you've ever gone through. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in the manger. Family poor and then on the run. He understands. He knows what it's like. This day, with every head bowed, every eye closed. First off, if you're going through the valley and you don't know the shepherd, today's your day. If you're going through the valley and you don't know the shepherd, you've never asked him into your heart and life, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, would you raise that hand and say, "I need to know Jesus"? I'm not going to embarrass you. I need to know the shepherd. I need Jesus. Or maybe you're here, and at one time you had a great relationship with the shepherd, but now it's gone the other way. And you're needing the shepherd to put you back under his arm. You're needing to feel the power of the shepherd's love again. If I'm talking to you right now, I'm not going to embarrass you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you raise that hand and say, "That's me. I need to feel that power one more time. I need to feel the love of the shepherd. I need to feel that." Touch him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch him. Help him to feel that power. Help him to feel that anointing. Help him to feel that love. And maybe today you're just going through a valley, and you didn't realize that it's part of life. And didn't realize that the shepherd's with you all the way. And didn't realize that on the other side of this valley is a mountaintop experience. An awesome mountaintop experience. But you don't grow on the mountaintop. The richest soil is in the valley. The greatest stuff is in the valley. Yes, the greatest dangers are in the valley, but the greatest resources are in the valley. And God's leading us through, protecting us and guiding us so that we can take in those resources. So a mountaintop experience will not be empty, but it'll be powerful. Because we just came through the valley. Right now, If you need God to touch you any way whatsoever, I invite you to this altar. If you're going through the valley and you're needing God to help you through this valley, come on. If you just need God to touch you, come on. If there's something going on in your life and you need God's help, come on. God is awesome. God is powerful. God wants to touch you. All that will, come and pray. All that will, come and pray. Come and ask God to touch you. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're awesome, that you're powerful, Lord, that everything is in your hands, Lord, that you're our mighty shepherd, that you are protecting us. You are protecting us. You've got our hands. You've got our hands. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch Frankie right now. Touch Missy, Lord. Touch my wife, Lord. All those that are suffering this day, Lord, this fibromyalgia. Touch them. Lift them up. Strengthen them, Lord. In the name of Jesus. You can do it. We trust you right now, Lord, to minister mighty, Lord, in the name of Jesus. When you're praying, also pray for Marina. Marina thinks she has a strep throat. She's at a doctor now. Jimmy Ruffin, his brother in Chapel Hill, fell and hurt his head. He's on the way to Chapel Hill Hospital. I don't know exactly what's going on, but it doesn't sound good. Remember them in prayer, too. Father, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. All things are yours. All things are yours. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's sing that, y'all.
Holy night.
God is so awesome. I want y'all one more time to what you can remember of, and I want you to repeat this with me. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. One day this week, Lynn and I, she was getting ready to go to work. We prayed, and as we prayed, she took off, and as she took off, I went back in the house. And went back in the house as I was getting ready to leave. I noticed she had left her telephone. She has to have her telephone for work. She was going to Greenville without it. How could I call her and tell her that she left it? And so I just went ahead and jumped back in the car, and I grabbed her phone, and I started chasing her down. I chased her all the way to Greenville. I called up with her at the last turn before she went in to go to work. She saw me in the rearview mirror. She said, that looks like David's car. So as a matter of fact, that's white-headed. That looks like David. then she said, let me find out what's going on. Oops. That's why the ride's been so quiet. And so I walked up to her and I gave her a phone and I said, the Lord said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow all the days of your life. And that word literally means indeed. And I said, follow you when the Greek means to chase you down. I said, I chased you 20 miles. And she said, praise God. She said, which one are you? Goodness, mercy, or surely? Don't forget tonight, 6:30, we're not going to be over here. We're going to be over there, Christmas party. And just bring, if you bring something for, enough for your family and a few more, we'll have more than enough. That's how it works. It always works out that way. Matter of fact, we always want to take stuff home. Maybe bring some for you. Make sure stuff for your family and somebody else. If you got any favorite little finger foods, bring your favorite little finger foods. Amen. If you got some favorite little things you like, go ahead. It'll be okay. And it can even be dark chocolate, dark Malibu. All right. God's awesome. All the time.
Father God, we truly are thankful the word has gone forth of its day. We thank you that you are the good shepherd, Lord, that watches over your flock night and day. Lord, now just keep your hand upon us. And if we're in this season, Lord God, let us reach out and be reminded Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. We shall, Father, give you the praise, Lord, God, for all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.